everybody. Welcome to Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you, live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time. Trend On, featuring guest interviews and current trends from businesses to entertainment to lifestyle topics. And here's your host, the engaging Tamara Lee.
I am Tamara Lee, host here on Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you. And I am also the founder of Tamara Lee LLC, a communications expertise company meeting the needs of clients on multiple communication platforms from mobile, social, content, blogging, writing, editing, and image and style consulting. So if your website needs updating or you're having trouble finding content each week for your company blog, give me a shout out and we can help you out there. We have an exciting show coming up today that I want to give a shout-out for Conquer Chiari's. I am going to be doing the walk this weekend in Brookfield, Wisconsin, with my sister Vicki, who has had Chiari's syndrome and the surgery and everything like that. And so we have our interview with her coming up, just raising awareness on Chiari's syndrome because it's often a difficult condition to diagnose. So raising awareness, walking to get the word out on what to do to cure it. It has symptoms, vertigo, headaches, dizziness, blackouts. So there's a number of kind of not clear things that we'll discuss with Vicki that make it hard to identify. So hopefully it will be good information and be of value. And then if not, it's always a good cause to support. It's supposed to be a beautiful day Saturday for walking. It's a national campaign going on this Saturday, and I will post information on our website about that. So before we get into our conversation with Vicki on Conquer Chiari, do you have a shout-out to our sponsors, Heidi?
I do. We'd like to thank Mediavine Marketing, simplifying social media for successful businesses and professionals through training, consulting, and management. Mediavine Marketing, minimizing your efforts and maximizing your results. We'd also like to thank ZipBoss.com, a professional business cloud built and maintained by Metasoft, Inc. ZipBoss, create, market, succeed, where powerful websites are born. Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you, Heidi. And I should also say that Tamara Lee's Trend On is one of several shows in the lineup on the Link Local Network. So check those out as well on the LinkedLocalNetwork.com. Link Local Network is a networking organization for professionals who utilize social media to promote their businesses and accomplish their goals with a strong local, national, and international following. So you can link locally and connect globally at linklocalnetwork.com. And you can also find today's show link as well as our other past Tamara Lee's Trend On shows and blog posts both on my website, tamaraleellc.com. That's TamaraleeighLLC.com, as well as on the Linked Local Network website under radio shows. And I've been a little bit on hiatus, so it's good to be back at it. I've spent the last 6 weeks literally traveling from coast to coast across the country getting my kids situated. It was the summer of transition, and I've now have children. I guess when you have five young adults that you taught to be adventurous and embrace life, doggone it if they don't grow up and do that. So I have kids from New York City, New Jersey, to Portland, Oregon, and Colorado in between. And so I spent the last 6 months driving some of them at various points, as well as relocating my puppy out to my son in Portland, Oregon. So lots going on, and I feel like I don't know what time zone I'm in, what child I'm talking to in which time zone. So maybe that's why I was a little out of practice with my opening there. I don't know if I'm coming or going in Central Eastern Rocky Mountains or West Coast time. So we'll get back on track here for our shows and next week back to our more regular schedule. So thanks for hanging in there during our hiatus. And we look forward to our conversation now. Good timing with the Conquer Chiari's walk coming up this weekend. So here's our Trend On show with Conquer Chiari's. So again, we have with us this morning Vicki Sicca from Manitowoc. She's a reading specialist in the school district there and also a Chiari sufferer. And there is little known, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, about this disease and so, or symptom, which is part of one of those things. Is it a disease? Is it a symptom? Is it a condition? So we're going to find out some of those information pieces about Chiari, what it is, what the symptoms are, why it's so hard to diagnose, and then what is it like to live with Chiari. So in an effort to help raise awareness about Chiari malformation, we are going to hear Vicki's story and specific example, but then also the ways that it, when you truly have your health, you have everything, and when you don't, you realize how precious it is not to have it. And some of the awareness with Chiari is helping people to diagnose when it is often misdiagnosed. So I will let Vicki tell all that part of the story because she can do it way better than I can. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Vicki. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to share what information I have on Chiari malformation.
And it's probably not something you ever thought you would become somewhat of an expert on, is it?
Not at all. Looking back, though, I can see some of the symptoms back from when I, was a young girl and didn't understand what was going on at the time, and it wasn't until I was in my 40s, actually, and it took about 4 years to diagnose, and which is often the case because some of the symptoms are much like other conditions, which we'll get into later. But, yeah, I did not realize what a Chiari malformation was. But
one of those where life throws some surprises at you, not always good ones, but then is what you do in that situation and kind of changes course or the path you're on. And so we appreciate your being with us this morning to share your personal story and help to get information about Chiari out there so perhaps someone else suffering with it or someone who might know of someone can steer them in the right direction for some information. So why don't we start by briefly telling us what Chiari malformation is?
Chiari, which actually has a strange spelling, it's C-H-I-A-R-I. Chiari malformation was actually identified back in the 1890s by a man named Hans Chiari, but it hasn't been until probably the last 10 years or so that it's become much more in the spotlight or limelight as far as being able to understand what exactly it is. It's a neurological disorder where the bottom part of your brain, the cerebellum, which controls motor activity, motor function in your body and balance, it's where that portion of the brain, the cerebellum, actually pushes down into your skull and the top part of your spinal column, and it crowds that spinal cord, and it puts pressure on the brain and the spine. It almost acts like a cork. That cerebellum gets pushed and acts like a cork, and it limits the amount of spinal fluid that actually flows through your body. And it's got many symptoms involved with it. So there's three or four types of Chiari. Typically, type one is the Chiari malformation. The one that's probably less known, a type 2 is associated with spina bifida, and that's probably more well-known or well-heard of in infants and children. And then there's also a type 3 that's the most serious. 3 and 4 are probably the most serious. The cerebellum and the brain stem actually protrude through a portion of the back of your brain. And type 4 would be just an undeveloped, underdeep cerebellum. So type 1, if you're going to have anything related to a Chiari malformation, the type 1 is at least the least debilitating. Although
okay.
I say that hesitantly because it feels
Is that what you have? It's the type 1?
I actually have type 1 Chiari, and they're doing a lot of research to find out what actually causes it. The biggest factor is basically that your skull is too small, and it actually crowds your cerebellum, and that's why it sort of pushes it down into the spinal column. You can also get it from injury if you've got severe head trauma. It could also be caused by that. With mine, I was a gymnast, and I do remember a time I was doing a back handspring and fell on my head. Never did a back handspring after that. but I will never really know the cause of mine because I had no MRI or anything done prior to that to know what my brain looked like before the injury and after. So it could be that I just was born with a smaller skull.
Okay. And then I imagine a lot of it, because of the symptoms, are often indicative of other conditions going on, that it was hard to diagnose, and really it wasn't until the technology was available to get a good look inside that back of the skull area to know precisely what was going on. So is that correct of why maybe now there's more awareness?
That's correct. I started with, and most people do start with, some numbing, usually down your neck or into your shoulders. But it could, because the spinal fluid actually helps all the way through your body, it can also affect your legs and things like that. There's about one in 1,000 people have Chiari. A lot of them don't know it because it takes a while to have those symptoms kind of all crop up to where you go, oh, okay, now we can put this all together. Some of the symptoms that I started having was I did have the numbing in my shoulders. So right away when I went to the doctor, they were looking more at pinched nerves in my neck. And a lot of the x-rays or, you know, scans that they would do didn't go up high enough into the spinal column. They would start around, you know, your cervical spine, 3 or 4 or 5, they'd start typically where your neck is, not up higher into your head, which is where the base of, you know, where that brain, the cerebellum would fall into. So that, you know, we went probably a year with diagnosing it more as pinched nerve. I knew that it was more than that when I couldn't put my pants on and not fall over. My balance was really off kilter, and I was having trouble balancing just in daily function type of skills that you need to do. The other big symptom with Chiari is having they call it a stabbing headache, real quick, sharp pain in your head, and it's very severe, but they last probably only 5-10 seconds, and then it goes away, and you don't even have time to really say, what was that, because it's over so quick, but at the time, it's so intense, you know something's not right. And I started having that actually early on, but I never knew it. I had it when I was younger, when I would laugh, or when I would cry, if I would carry things, if I would shout or cheer for anything. But I thought it was a normal headache, and so I kind of passed it off. So it wasn't until I was in my 40s when these symptoms started to come up again that I realized this isn't normal.
Headaches are such a hard thing to diagnose. I mean, there are so many causes of headaches, but here's an alarming fact from the Conquer Chiari information website organization, and they said landmark study, Milleret landmark study of over 300 Chiari found that over half of the patients had been told by a doctor that they suffered from a mental problem.
Yeah, I was never so happy as the day my doctor finally told me she knew what I had, and she told me it was Chiari, and I immediately got home and went on the website, and I was so elated that finally there was a name to what I have been experiencing. And after a while, your family starts to go, enough. We're tired of hearing about your woes. And you do feel like you're making it up. And, you know, so when you finally can put a name to it and you know that these symptoms are real, no doubt I knew. When I looked at the symptoms, I had so many of them, and that's typical in the Chiari. Usually if someone is diagnosed with it, they have over half of the symptoms. The one headache, that stabbing headache that I mentioned earlier, kind of the time that I knew something was really wrong is you would get it when you go to the bathroom, and I thought, you know, this is strange. But how do you go and tell your doctor about that? But, you know, finally it was debilitating enough to where I couldn't function. I also have asthma, so every time I cough, that it would irritate it. So those headaches are brought on by sort of abnormal reasons, coughing, sneezing, carrying heavy things, lifting, bending, so any kind of straining. So it, you know, that's usually the number one symptom where a physician that knows about Chiari would say, we know what you have. Some of the other symptoms are the neck and shoulder pain, trouble swallowing, and speaking, which I remember a lot of times I would say something and I'd be like, what did I just say? That didn't even make sense. Our words would come out kind of, you know, jumbled, and you kind of get to where you don't want to talk then. You sort of kind of, you know, hold back in a crowd or in conversation. You tend to be more of a listener than a speaker.
Well, I mean, at that point when your speech is coming out all jumbled, you must feel like, remember that reporter after the Super Bowl with the Packers in Dallas, and you could just see the panic in her eyes.
It's a panic feeling, yeah. And that's, like, I think, where that the emotional, you know, where the mental thoughts are, gosh, what is wrong with me? And people don't see this, or do they not see that? Or, you know, so you do start to kind of second guess who you are and what you're becoming because of the symptoms. I would get to where I was dropping things all the time. My fine motor control, I'd pick up something, and next thing I know, it'd be on the ground, and I'm like, what just happened? There was numbness in my hands and my feet. I didn't have the, sometimes you can lose the ability to feel hot and cold. I didn't have that. I also didn't have the loss of bladder control and bowel control. But, you know, those are all things that can happen. The other main symptom that I had that really scared me is when I was walking at one of my my daughter's volleyball game, and I totally looked like I was drunk. I couldn't walk in a straight line. I was falling, and it was embarrassing, and I'm like, what is going on? And that's when I said, enough is enough. I got to find out what's going on.
And so you really had to be your own advocate.
Definitely. And the hard part is that the symptoms sort of build. You don't get them all at once. So, you know, and that's why I was frustrated at first when I was talking to my neurologist, and I said, why didn't these doctors see this? And he said, the symptoms are so much like some other things that it isn't until you put all of them together that you go, okay, now we know what this is. And it's not very common. So, you know, I would say in the last probably 5 to 6 years, it's become more common because diagnosing it has become easier. And it is only diagnosed through, you know, really keeping a good history of what's been going on with your body. And technology-wise, only through an MRI. And usually that doesn't happen in the first stages of trying to, you know, figure out what the symptoms are.
So did you have to then when it initially, so what is the first round of diagnosis or of testing that you go through?
A lot of it is just what's going on with your body right now. So a lot of it was just sort of you know, filling in the doctor, your regular physician, as to what was going on. The hard part with most physicians is they don't know about it. So that took a while. And actually, my first doctor didn't diagnose it. It was my nurse practitioner after, it was about 3.5 years. She had a doctor friend of hers that had a patient that had Chiari, and so when I was telling her about my headaches and some of those things, that's when she said, I know what this is. I, being a faithful person in my Lord and Savior, I know she was an answered prayer, because I could have gone to many doctors that didn't know about it, but this one did. So it's the MRI, and truly, if you see a picture of what your cerebellum looks like, if you don't have Chiari, and if you do, it's very obvious what it looks like. So when I saw the MRI image, I knew I had it. But again, you have to be your own advocate, like you said before, because in my case, the radiologist said I did not have it.
Even after looking at your...
Even after looking at the MRI. Mm-hmm. Again, another act of God that put the right people in at the right time for my diagnosis. The gentleman who did the MRI happened to be a former classmate of mine that I hadn't seen in 25, 30 years. And he was there doing the imaging, and he said, too, that, yep, this is Chiari. So the Lord was there saying, nope, you fight for your, what you know is true. And so then I was sent to a neurologist, and he finally diagnosed it correctly. So you do have to, you have to know your body, and I kept track of what was going on, and you have to be your own advocate, like you said before.
Well, probably it didn't hurt that you're a school teacher and used to meticulous record keeping.
That's right. Yeah. So once I was diagnosed with a neurologist, there are other tests, because you can have Chiari and not need surgery. Some patients, the symptoms aren't severe enough. Sometimes they don't have, a lot of them that are debilitating or life-threatening. So they do some other tests. I had to go through some CAT scans and some more MRIs, and I had one of the big tests that they do is called cerebral spinal fluid test, where they actually check to see what the pressure is of that spinal fluid that's flowing through your body, to see if it's affecting, the flow and the nerves and all that. Because that spinal fluid is in your spinal column to kind of cushion everything. So when you don't have as much of that cushioning, you're going to feel everything a lot more. So that's why the headaches were so intense, and the numbing and some of those things tend to happen. Mine was enough debilitated where I was beginning to, my legs were affected by it, and that's why I was having trouble with the balance and they kind of take all those, the severity, the frequency, the amount of the symptoms, and then some of those other tests, and then they decide whether or not surgery would be, the course of action. The surgery is called a decompression surgery, and I was diagnosed in August of 2006, and I ended up having my surgery in March of 2007. So fairly quickly, once I started having all the tests, my surgery followed fairly quickly. So as scary as it was, I was elated to know that I was going to have relief, but the decompression... go ahead.
I was going to say, the surgery is no small undertaking, and is surgery really the only kind of cure, in quotes?
Yeah.
Because you're not really cured from it.
There's never really a cure. You're just minimizing the frequency and the severity of the symptoms. So which at that point I didn't even care if I had a, you know, if it's not a curable thing. It was, it, once you have Chiari, you will always have Chiari. It's just managing the symptoms. So with mine, I had my surgery done at St. Luke's in Malakavir Head. They call us zipper heads for any of us that have had it, because they shave your head and then they cut from the base of your skull, all the way, or neck, all the way down, oh, midway between your shoulders, just above that. And they go in and they have to, depending on how far down your, they call it a tonsil, but that tissue of the cerebellum, depending on how far down that is in your spinal column, they will take away part of the bone of your spinal column. So for mine, it went down into C2, my second cervical ring, and they cut the bone. And so instead of having a circle, I have a C. They kind of take away that bone. And then they shave off part of the base of the skull, the bone. And what they're doing is just opening up that area. They don't remove the piece of cerebellum that's down in your spinal column. They used to, which that sounds like a horrible thing, but before they knew about it. Yeah, before they knew really how to do it, you know, without the least amount of trauma to the brain, they now they just provide an opening. So that piece is still, you know, that cerebellum is still down in the spinal column, but they open up, away some of that so that it can allow the spinal fluid to flow around that piece that's in, you know, blocking it. And then they put a patch over it, a dural patch. With mine, they use bovine heart tissue and use that. Kind of, I was explaining it to my kids because they were in high school, well, 10th grade, freshman, and like 6th grade when I was going through it, and I kind of explained it like a balloon. If you push your finger through a balloon, and that it just sort of causes it to expand a little bit, and that's what the Duroplast does. So it was a long process in recovery. It took 3 months. I was out of work for that to heal, and that recovery time varies from person to person. It could be anywhere from 3 weeks to 3 months. Mine just took longer.
And you certainly don't want to rush things with going on with the base of your brain and skull and spinal fluid and all that. I mean, I would think that's where the severity of, or just the invasiveness of the surgery is, because that's all so central to life functions and quality of life, and both physically and cognitively. So if there's any kind of misstep in that whole process, the consequences would be dramatic.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that as a family. I mean, things could go wrong. They're opening up your brain, you know, or your skull. They're in your spinal column. You know, I worried about paralysis and things that could go wrong, but, you know, there's a lot of fantastic neurosurgeons around here that you just have to put your trust that this is going to work and it's going to improve my quality of life. And it did. For me, the symptoms decreased in frequency and severity. I would say probably 80 to 90%. And that varies from person to person, too. So that's the other thing that's difficult with Chiari, because it can be so unique to each person. And so there really is no cut-and-dry way to, you know, look at the symptoms or to look at a person's way of how they're going to handle treatment. I know there have been some programs on Chiari since mine, and you know, some of those individuals really have some lifelong symptoms that are not as easy to maintain, you know, on a daily basis. And, you know, they can be unable to walk and unable to talk and unable to swallow. And so I've been very fortunate to. I have to remind myself of that on the hard days that this is nothing of what through. So I'm just thankful the surgery worked for me. And
so do you? You still have to somewhat limit what your activities are. So it did.
There's still some lingering. When I cough, I still get the headaches, but again, they're not as severe. I think the hardest one is laughing, especially when I get together with our family. Tamara is my sister, and when we get together as a family, an extended family, there's a lot of laughing that goes on, and that hurts my head. And so I'll laugh for a while, and then I'll have to just sort of pull away and you know, go get some quiet for a while. Crowds tend to bother me a little bit more now, just all the noise and lights and things like that. But I would say laughing for me was the hardest one. But that, ironically, is the symptom that I can recall as I look back as a young girl, wondering why I couldn't laugh as much as my friends. And looking back, it's because it hurt. And I didn't understand that back then.
And I just made fun of you because I thought you were crabby.
I know you did.
I'm sorry now. I'll publicly admit that. I'd be like, come on, let's go running. Let's go play.
Yeah, running is no good for me, all that bouncing.
Yeah.
And that's hard, too. I've had to modify my exercise, and I used to love yoga, and I have to really be careful with positions and you know, I can't do a lot of the bouncing that I used to like to do in, like, you know, well, it was jazzercise back then, the Jane Fonda era. But,
yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's because you're older than I am.
Yeah, not so.
Oh, yeah, I won't make you laugh.
Yeah.
Actually, that was why it occurred to me. I'm like, oh, we should have you on the show and talk about this and raise awareness because, well, you know, one of knowing that there is so little information out there and that, yes, the severity of the symptoms. And then it was a Facebook post you actually had of, you know, coughing.
Oh,
it hurt so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, so just something is.
The common cold is not good for a person with Chiari. Yeah, the colds are hard, and like I said, because of having asthma too, I have more of the bronchial asthma, and you know at those times during the year it's going to be worse, and you literally just want to, like, you know, lop your head off. it hurts. But again, I think there are a lot of people that are suffering worse than me, so if it's just short bursts that I have to kind of suffer through, oh well, I'll have to do that, but... But I think that's the other thing that's frustrating a little bit with it, because I think people think once you have the surgery, you're healed or cured. But at any point, symptoms can flare up again. I could develop new ones. It could get worse. So you're always living with the unknown, which, I mean, that's life. But you just learn to take the good days for what they are and try to not be so crabby and whiny during the bad days. And my family learned to step up. They definitely don't let me carry as much, and they've had to, you know, at a younger age, had to step up with some of that.
Well, and even adapting your environment, that was one of the things I know you were deliberate about after having the surgery and knowing what some of the trigger points are.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them that I had was I would faint. So I loved to garden, and I'd be out gardening, and I would stand up, and you know, I'd all of a sudden get really woozy, and then I'd be laying on the ground, and so the kids kind of knew if I learned to let them know when I was going to be out doing things. I had to kind of chuckle because my neurologist said, he told my husband that she shouldn't be doing housework. And I kind of looked at him. I thought he was joking. And he said, no, really, you shouldn't be doing a lot of housework. It's a lot of bending. It's a lot of lifting. It's a lot of compromising your neck. And that could be one benefit of Chiari.
Yes, I was going to say. Okay.
Hire a maid. No.
I think I'm going to get symptomatic. What do they call that? Psychosomatic TRE.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but that's also, I mean, I come from a line of independent women, and I don't like having to have someone carry up my laundry when I need my laundry upstairs, you know, or watch how much I'm lifting groceries or things like that. So you do, yeah, you do have to do some adjusting. I had to arrange my laundry room and my kitchen and things like that, so the items that I need more often are up, you know, at my level, so I'm not doing a lot of bending and things like that. But again, a small price to pay compared to what it could be or what other people have, you know, suffered through.
Right.
So,
well, and I would think a lot of this is part of that awareness and understanding that it's not emotional, it's not psychological, that there is physical, very real physical condition going on there that has an impact in each one of those areas. And so as part of that, with conquerkiari.org, and I'll put this information up on our website, that's one of the resources that has been most helpful to you. And
there's when I first started looking into what it was, there wasn't a lot out there. But the Conquer Chiari website is, and it's even improved in the last 6 years or 7 years since I was researching it. So they've done a phenomenal job at presenting the information so clear, so concise. It's a really, really good resource to have. There's also a couple hospitals. I know there's one in New York, and I think there's one in Ohio, that specifically are doing research with Chiari and are really trying to do, you know, some of the congenital, you know, are there better ways that we can get to checking out the symptoms and getting people treated earlier instead of having it be 4 or 5 years? Is there some way that we can speed the process along so people aren't waiting so long? And you know, there's a walk in September called Chiari, I think it's Walk Across America, something like that. There's one in Brookfield, a site in Brookfield, but Wisconsin, there's not a lot of sites that sponsor the walk. That's kind of on my bucket list to get involved in organizing one, because
September is what they've designated as National Chiari Awareness Month.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's why they have the walk there during that time. And there's information on the website, on the Conquer Chiari website about that. But there's quite a few sites across the U.S. That are all walking at the same time to raise money and awareness for Chiari and Chiari research. One day in the future, I hope to be able to have one in the Brown County, Manitowoc area. And I think it's good to be able to talk to people and kind of network that way and help those out. I would like to at some point for those people that are just finding out about what it is. And
we thank you for sharing your story here on our show, and we will do what we can to, well, it's not September yet, but maybe closer to September, we can repost all of the information, and I'll put the website, conquerchiari.org, website information, and the walk and some of those things, because really it comes down to the research and the awareness so that there can be better diagnosis, sooner diagnosis, and then better treatment and quality of life, like you said, for the Chiari sufferers. And then for the family, I'm sure it has to be huge, you know, for your family to now realize, and me too, you know. I mean, I include the extended family.
He's feeling
because
guilty.
Really, unless you understand what it is, you do tend to think, oh, it's just that person, she's not a happy person, or he's a crab, or, you know, he's grumpy, without realizing that there's
the reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think, I mean, there's, Chiari can happen in infants and babies and young children as well. And I can't imagine what that would be like for a parent to be going through that with their child. But I know a couple of the symptoms in infants and is just that inability to swallow and to feed, to have that desire to eat and swallow. And so, you know, just some things to be kind of mindful of as new parents, that, you know, you really have to be aware of what's going on with your
child. Is that something that would show up in an ultrasound, or is it, I mean, at a point of developmental?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have a lot of experience or knowledge on the infant Chiari or toddler Chiari. A lot of times Chiari doesn't show up. The symptoms don't show up until you're in your 20s to 40s. That's usually the typical range. And it happens more in women than men. And again, that's what research, the money that's raised, trying to answer those questions on why is it mostly in women and why does it show up from ages 20 to 40. Mm-hmm. Typically, you know, how can we have better diagnosis from an early age and things like that. But, you know, it's no age group is untouched by it.
And what happens if it doesn't get diagnosed and treated, or at least, you know, managed with the surgery like you had? What's the prognosis for someone if it continues to be misdiagnosed or never addressed?
From my experience, it's just, the symptoms will just keep kind of cropping up until it's to the point where you can't function. And that's kind of what happened with me. I would be sitting in meetings and just crying, having to leave work because I couldn't function because my head hurt so bad. And you know, these symptoms were getting, you know, more severe and more of them to where you really just know something is. And that's why if, you know, I have anything to say with whether you have the symptoms or not, just really be aware of your body. Be journaling. I journal now when I have episodes and what I did. And, you know, I think we really have to be advocates for our own health. And sometimes it does take a while until you look at all of it and you've got that written in that journal to say, okay, here's what's been going on. To really be able to know, because the doctors do the best they can, but when they're only seeing a couple symptoms, that's all they can only, you know, help with what they know at that time, and sometimes it is over a period of time to where you know.
Well, that's
something.
Good. Well, I appreciate your sharing it with us this morning. Went very fast. All of this information is good stuff, and we'll post it up on the website, like I said. Get the information out there, and if you end up organizing anything with the walk or coming down here, just let us know, and we'll promote that out there too, so we can help raise awareness and hopefully maybe help, you know, even if it's one or two people out there who realize that there's something real going on, like you said, for you. So thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to share about it.
All good things, and I'll quit making fun of you now.
That's right. Be nice to your little sister.
I'm sorry. For all those times I wasn't.
I forgive you.
Okay, good deal.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, lots of great information, and who knew there was so much involved in Chiari and as I said, why it's so difficult to diagnose. So anyway, so join us. It's not too late, I don't think, to get signed up if you want to walk in Brookfield. There are also other ones across the country, as I said. So check out that information on the Conquer Chiari Foundation website. And I'll be praying for warm weather and no rain because I'm a fair weather fan. I'll still go. We've got a great big group from my family. The Warden Walkers, and so there should be about 30 of us in our group alone doing the walk, so good fun. And then, having just gone back from traveling, my Tamerlane Trend on Fashion is tips for traveling, and it's surprisingly, I was flying on 9/11 all around those dates, and I thought, oh, the airports were going to be awful. But I think part of what has made it easier is just learning to travel light through going through the security checkpoint of, you know, down to the bare minimums, and then shoes and clothing that's easy to take on and off as you go through the things. And so really finding some basic pieces and basic colors that are good Lycra, usually Lycra is great and everything. So when you travel, don't forget to think about what your wardrobe is for going to get easier to go through that those checkpoints. Makes it much better to fly through. Flip on boots, shoes, not belts or all the jewelry. Just throw that in your bag and wait to doll up or get bedazzled after you are through your airport traveling. And then basic pieces on your trip that you can change up and switch around to make for different looks, different wardrobes, but really having a minimal amount of luggage. Although that's not something I've completely conquered myself when it comes to packing and fashion. So, anyway, join us next week for Tamalee's Trend On, live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on the Link Local Network. We look forward to engaging your audience to trend on you. So see you next week, and thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.